z Americkej obchodnej komory počúvate MChat, podcast business lídrov. My name is Veronika Jurumes, and we have prepared another episode of our podcast for you. Today, I have two guests from a manufacturing industry, from very different industries, but I hope you will like it. My first guest is René Kraut, a managing director of Heineken Slovakia. Heineken is a Dutch multinational brewing company. And my second guest is Guido Longitano, managing director of Expantec, automotive component producer located or headquartered in Poprad. Gentlemen, thank you for being with us today and welcome.
Pleasure.
Our pleasure.
Maybe I will start already with my first question. You have been working in the manufacturing industry for many years, and I was wondering, what has career in manufacturing brought to you? René, feel free to start if you are okay with it.
Yeah, well, I've indeed a long career in the brewing industry. As a matter of fact, I'm getting close to 38 years with the company. So I started in sales as a sales rep for a company that is Dutch owned. But I can say over the years, I've really seen the company growing rapidly, expanding rapidly into really a multinational and a true international company, being represented in, I believe, over 170 countries in the world. Brewing is a very traditional business. It's the brewing culture is a very local culture. If one of the big things that I've of course seen happening over the years, and the brewing industry was rather late, is the globalization. It used to be purely local in many countries, and like Slovakia, like the Netherlands, I'm sure Italy, France, Belgium, especially in Europe, many, many local breweries, regional breweries. And over time, the globalization has taken its toll on some of the breweries, integrating companies, further growing. So that has been a process over the years. And now you can say that there's maybe 3-4 giant companies really operating worldwide, but still with their local representation, with all their local brands. And then, if you look at, let's say, the last 5 to 10 years, I think the whole digitalization is something that has really changed the business enormously, even now recently being accelerated by the COVID. So those, I think, in a nutshell, are two very important elements.
Thank you. And when it comes to your career, have you seen developed it? Or as you mentioned, like it's a traditional business. So basically there might be some innovations and the globalization. But when it comes to your career, what is it that you believe that manufacturing brought to you? You've been working for a company for a very long time. It means you probably love your job. So if for maybe a younger person to understand that, why would someone choose a career in manufacturing? So what has it been to you?
I can fully understand that certainly the younger listener would maybe think that this guy is crazy, spent 38 years with the same company. Then again, this is my 10th job. I've worked in 7 countries, in 3 continents in the world, and it's been an enormous enrichment of my personal and also business life. The nice thing I think about manufacturing is that it's, in our case, even though you work for a multinational, it's still very local. So each and every country where I've worked over the years, I was working for and representing a local operation owned by Heineken, but often people wouldn't even know, because the local brands we always cherish. And then on top of that, either we import the Heineken brand, or if the market is ready, we would start local production. So the nice thing is that we say, I've always been able to see the whole end-to-end process. So especially in the case of Slovakia, we even deal with farmers, where we buy all the barley, because we have a big maltery. So we really go from the barley fields all the way up until when the beer comes out of the tap in the outlet or is sold in the retail. So it's sales, it's marketing, it's corporate affairs, it's legal, and it's producing. So it's a whole lot, and it gives a very broad and diverse perspective. And yeah, that's what I've enjoyed over the years so much. And that's why I stayed, because each time there was a new challenge and a new opportunity.
I think that's what many young people might actually find, I would say, appealing, because often nowadays we are working on something that it isn't tangible. Like many young people would say, oh, I'm doing this and this, but actually I don't see the result of my work. Whereas in your area, actually, like you said, going from the farmer all the way to a product that is being produced, it might be in a way very satisfying to know that you are working on something and you see the product that you help to develop, sell, defend, a market, etc. So it's very nice. Thank you. Guido, how about you? What has career in manufacturing brought to you? I know that you've been in Slovakia for a long time, quite some time, and you've also worked for two manufacturing companies. Now it is Expantec. So how has what is it that your career in manufacturing brought to you that you think it's important to share with our listeners?
Thank you, Veronica. I'm 20 years in Slovakia, 21 years in the manufacturing area for the same company, actually. So not as much as René, but a long time to stay in a single company. I come from a different background. I was a maritime lawyer, and then I had this opportunity to start a company from scratch here in Slovakia. We still have two companies where I'm managing director. One is STD, which is more for white appliances, and one is Expantec for the automotive sector. Both companies and in the same place, we produce plastic components, which are for the white industry or for the automotive. It's challenging. It's very, very interesting, because you are always connected to new projects which are related to the product of your client, of your customers. So it's very interesting to work in this sector. For me, of course, is a very broad range, because it involves from legal sides to the sales, to the customers, to the relationship with the local authorities, and as well as with the clients. And also a big part is the development of the industrial part. So in these 20 years, I've been supervising the industrial growth of the company. And so from the first machine which we put to the more 15 plus machines which we have today, which are producing components, we have mainly a woman workforce in our offices, in the management, as well as also in production. But it's a mix. We believe that diversity and inclusion is the key which is successful in Slovakia, and this has been proved in these 20 years.
Thank you very much for the nice introduction. I would like to ask, since you both had a long experience in working in manufacturing, I would like to ask whether you would recommend it to a younger generation. Maybe we might have students who are following us, and they're thinking, what would be my next career or my first career step? So I was going to ask whether it's something that you would recommend to a younger generation, and if you would, why? Maybe what would be something of the good things that the young generation could look forward in a career in manufacturing? Guido, maybe. I don't know if you have younger people also working in your company or with the younger generation, but
we have about 50 people, and it's mostly stable people. So we have also people that has been working with us 20, 15 years, but we also have introduced new people, young people. It's always challenging, and it's very interesting work, because you have the possibility every time to challenge yourself with some new project. It's diversify the kind of job, so it's not boring. For this, I would advise young people to pursue this career if they like to do something manually and to see what is their result of their work.
Yeah, like Guido said, I mean, certainly Heineken as a global company, and also us as a subsidiary, Heineken Slovensko, inclusion and diversity is super important for us. I mean, a beer is all about passion. It's about enjoyment. Of course, we always have to give the warning that it has to be drunk in moderation. And for that matter, we have lots of alternatives nowadays with non-alcoholic products, so-called 0.0 Radlers. But we always say people are at the heart of our organization. Many people may not know, but the Heineken company is a family-owned company. It's still owned by the Heineken family. So we are an independent company. And even though we might be with 90,000 colleagues all across the globe, every single country that I've worked in, every single office that I've worked in, you feel what we call this green spirit, this green passion, a passion for quality, passion for brands. And yes, manufacturing may sometimes sound for people boring, but you actually see the product grow. And I think it's very challenging and interesting to be a part of the whole chain. And in the end, see the product. That's the nice thing about beer, of course. We operate in the so-called fast-moving consumer goods. You see the end product on the shelf. And over time, beer markets have changed a lot. There's lots of innovations. There's a lot of new ideas, be it on packaging, be it on flavors, what have you. And certainly, I think each and every one can play a role in our organization. And same like with Guido, we have people in our brewery in Urbanovo. Recently, we had a person celebrating 40 years even with the company. But we also have people that joined very recently. So we believe in this diversity, no matter age, no matter background, no matter orientation. I mean, we offer a safe place to work, and we welcome each and every one.
Thank you. It's nice to hear, and I'm sure those young ones maybe listening will be inspired and maybe think also to go for a company that is working in manufacturing industry. I would follow up maybe since we started about the younger generation. I would like to ask whether your companies in Slovakia, so Heineken Slovensko or Expantec, cooperate with universities or with high schools or with other educational institutions, and if they do, maybe in which way, and then maybe a follow-up question to that would be, how do you perceive the formal education compared to informal gain of skills and competences, and whether it has changed in your company over the time?
If I may start, we do cooperate. Basically, we cooperate in the field of agriculture a lot. So the Agricultural University in Nitra. Because what we see indeed is that specifically in our Moultrie and Brewery, which is in Urbanovo, we are by time struggling to recruit new people. We have people who are very loyal to our company or many years with the company, but I mean, also they at a certain moment reach an age that it's time to enjoy the next episode in their lives. So to recruit people is not always easy. And what we see is that students sometimes have a misconception of what the business is all about. So we start some exchange programs, collaboration, even working closely on the production side. Be it for malting, be it for brewing, inviting them to come and have a look in our kitchen, so to speak, offering to give lectures at the universities. So that's one thing. The other thing is that our corporate affairs department by times is also exchanging with universities more to give presentations on corporate affairs, or so-called sustainability. I think each and every company now has, of course, the duty to become a carbon net zero, talking about how we take our responsibility as a company. So those are the things we do. Is it enough? I would say it's never enough. What we do see is that, I think in Slovakia there's the issue of the so-called brain drain. There's a lot of youngsters that go and study abroad. I think the first country that comes to mind, of course, is the Czech Republic, or otherwise Austria or Germany. And unfortunately, a lot of them stay abroad and don't come back. And that's a pity, because I think there's enough opportunities. But I know from colleagues in the business that a lot of companies are struggling to recruit new young people into their companies, because they've studied abroad and they find their opportunities over there. This is, of course, something that we as a business alone cannot solve. And this is would deserve a very close collaboration also through MCHEM and other organizations with the government to really get the level of education in the country higher than it is today.
Maybe you've heard about a dual education, so collaborating with high schools and basically bringing them, as you mentioned, to see directly in your kitchen. So I think that is probably a good way to go. It was inspired, I believe, we were inspired by Germany. So already students during their teen years go and do their practice in the company. I was wondering whether this is the way that Heineken is working with some of the high schools, or is it something that you might maybe considering?
Yeah, of course, we have to, of course, respect a certain age that we can have people in the company, but it's definitely something that we are considering. In most countries where I've worked, we actively have worked with so-called interns, stagiaires, where you offer people an opportunity either through an internship during summertime, or 6 months practice year, or 1 year. So we work with interns, we work with so-called management trainees. Often those are recruited at the regional level, and then they can move around the company to see if there's a future career for them. But definitely there's more to be done there. But I think that is absolutely, to your point, an important way of getting people familiar what the business is all about. And also to show that, yes, brewing, manufacturing is maybe traditional, but nowadays with the new tools, it's also interesting for young people, because I think they love the digital part of it, the whole digitalization about it. That's absolutely true.
Thank you. Guido, how about you? Is Exmantec cooperating with educational institutions in Slovakia? And if so, in which way?
We are open for visits. I think that this is a sector which should also have more connections with the schools, because what is important for Slovakia is to connect people and to connect schools with the workforce. Now, we are in an area in Poprad, which has a long tradition of manufacturing. We are in the area of Tatramat. Tatramat was from the 18th century founded by Germans, but it's been producing water boilers and washing machines for all the East. So it's well known in all the communistic bloc. And this had ups and downs, of course, through the centuries. And after the Velvet Revolution, this area was revitalized again with the first joint venture, which was Whirlpool Corporation, which came to this area and brought many other companies. Of course, this is not the only company. We have companies like Tatra Vagonka, which is the first producer of carriages in Europe. So it's a very vital vital area. So we really welcome the increase of connections with the schools, because we see many people going abroad. I think a lot also is responsibilities for the companies itself to do something to connect more with the students. One big value which we think we have is the teamwork. So when people come to work with us, and I'm sure that for RNF or Heineken is the same, you feel part of a family. So it's not just working, but you connect locally, you connect with the people you work with, you connect with what you're doing, and this helps people to stay and see a value on what they are doing. We just celebrated 20 years. We celebrated with also a couple of people which retired and a couple of people which are still with us after 20 years. And you could really feel the emotions on seeing what in these 20 years all together we have built. This is very important.
That's very nice. It's very nice to be part of a team that feels like a family, that... you actually go to work because you look forward to work with the people. So it is nice to hear that there are companies. And also, I didn't know that Heineken was still a family owned. So it is also very, very nice. And I believe not the most common example. So it is admiring. I will go to another question. You both have experience from working in other countries. So you know maybe different markets, what is the culture of working elsewhere. I was going to ask, how is, in your experience, doing business in Slovakia different than in other countries? And maybe what are the positives and on the other hand, the challenges of that one in working or doing business in Slovakia.
Maybe Guido can start. Okay. He's 20 years here.
Yes, we really have been enjoying working here in Slovakia. I'm the only foreigner in the company. The rest is Slovak people. We had a few people also from Ukraine or from Czech Republic. But mainly it's Slovak people, men and women. We have a great connection with them. Slovak people are great workers. They love what they do. They are very much committed. The background from which the country comes, it's a background where everybody had to work. And so it was sort of there was sort of detachment between what you are doing and your person, and so this sort of was a limit at the beginning, and limited because there was no flexibility. So people were just doing what they were told to be done, and this was also for me a surprise, because it was also on the other side. It was like they were expecting us to tell exactly what to do, what not to do, without any sort of connection, even teamwork connection. And this mentality we changed. We brought a mentality where we are all on the same boat. We are all trying to achieve something for the company and for ourselves. And this worked perfectly. Today we have people which are very flexible, very teamwork oriented. I believe that still Slovakia has some steps ahead in this direction. It's not something which has already changed with the new generations. Still is affected by this mentality. From the professionality point of view, people are prepared. People are prepared. We don't feel any issue on that, other than the issues which are in every country. I've been working in US, I've been working in UK or in Italy, and the issues are the same. So people are prepared, but the mentality to be more integrated with the others and to try to find solutions, this is still partly missing. And I think it's because people are not also used to connect to each other. So this exchange with others, this feeling that you are not just doing a work, but you are doing a work with the other people, this helps them to liberate even more energies and more passion for what they do.
Thank you very much. Thank you. René, how do you see it? How do you compare your experience of doing business in Slovakia with the ones abroad? You spent quite a few years, I read, in African countries, in Congo, Suriname. So that must be very different, I would assume. What is your experience? And then what are the positives and the challenges that you feel, or Heineken feels, in doing business in Slovakia?
I mean, of course, there are a lot of similarities, because when you enter a country, or when you're already a long time in a country as a multinational, for us, borders don't matter. So the same safety standards, the same quality standards, the same standards for our people apply no matter where you are. And this was sometimes to the surprise of maybe some suppliers, that when they enter our premises, they say, but okay, the rules are maybe not so strict because this is Africa. No, that's absolutely not the case. We say the moment you enter the gate, you enter the world of Heineken, and we have very strict international safety and security and quality standards and procedures. And over the years, I mean, I've worked in a number of companies in Africa, but what people may not know is that in some of those countries, we are also already present more than 50 years. So even longer than in a country like Slovakia. And what you see is that the people have grown with the business. So you find very, very well-skilled and motivated people. And typically in Africa, I've worked in East Africa, in Rwanda. I've worked on the west side in Congo. I've worked on the north side in Egypt. And Suriname, by the way, is South America, bordering the Guyanas and Brazil. But it's an ex-Dutch colony, so you still feel the past influence of the Dutch and the present. But everywhere, highly motivated people, highly skilled people, they love to work for the brewing industry because beer is pleasure and enjoyment and passion. And they are, I must say, very, very entrepreneurial. Sometimes you need to even slow down the people because they may get carried away a bit. Now, if I project that on Slovakia, actually, this is my second time in Slovakia. The first time that I joined and worked in Slovakia was from 2001 till end of 2004 as a sales director. And I came back in 2019 as the managing director of the same company. But the country changed enormously. The company changed enormously. And it was interesting to see the difference between 20 years ago and now, where 20 years ago, I was kind of missing that entrepreneurial spirit. And it's indeed what Guido said. People, of course, come from a background where you were doing what you're told to do. And certainly the commercial discipline wasn't so much developed. I mean, in the Netherlands, I think the same in Italy, and I saw this in Africa as well. People have this drive, have this passion to sell, trading, are entrepreneurial. And in Slovakia, people were not used to that. So there was quite a lot of work to be done in the field of sales and marketing and publicity. But if you now look 20 years later, there's enormous evolution being made. I really enjoy working here because there are very talented people in this country, and well-skilled people and well-motivated people. And it's good to see the evolution that the country has gone through, still having this solid base on manufacturing, no matter which industry, but also, and there is still a way to go, but also in the services industry and in the digital world, big steps have been made. Again, I really love to be here. I enjoy working here. There are still steps to be made. My concern would be indeed to keep the talent on board, to keep the talent in the country. And there's a role to be played for, of course, the government, but also institutions and companies to make sure that we offer the right right type of education, and that the education is well linked to what the business has to offer. But if that works well, then the future looks bright.
Thank you. I would maybe ask a little bit a question that is connected to your experience abroad. Many, especially young people, as you both mentioned, are thinking of maybe or leaving for other countries or are studying abroad. And it's perceived as a good thing, gaining experience, learning other cultures, learning the way business is done elsewhere. What would you say that experience in abroad brought to you personally? And why has it been important to your career to live, work, and experience as living abroad, and then using it for the future?
Every time you go abroad, you change your perspective, you change your point of view, and this is very important, because when you are in your country, you are comfortable, and you think that you know things. Until you have different experience, and this enrich you, because fills in the missing parts of your experience. So I would always tell people, go abroad, have experience, enlarge your experience, and bring this back, because to your roots, to your country, where you have your family, and this will help you work better and to better integrate. This has been also my experience, even if I have a little different experience, because I started as an expat in the company in Slovakia, and then I decided to stay as an economic migrant. I became a Slovak citizen 8 years ago. And Slovakia became my second country, so my current country. I love Slovakia. Slovakia is an excellent place where to live. But I've done this with all the experience which I had in my home country and in the other countries where I worked. Of course, René has even a broader experience. What it could bring to Slovakia. I feel that Slovakia should apprise more this diversity which is present in Slovakia. Slovakia is full of foreigners, but still has the feeling like, okay, but we are Slovaks, we are in Slovakia. But Slovakia is already made by this diversity, and this diversity has, in these 20 years, like René very well said, changed Slovakia. Completely. So that's a trajectory which should be more exploited, more explained to the young generation. That's what gave you the opportunities which you have today in Slovakia, is this exchange of experiences from other countries.
Thank you, Guido. René, how about you? Like I mentioned, your experience is broad. What is it that this experience brought you, and how did it enrich your life? Maybe what are the lessons that you learned from working in other countries?
Yeah, you know, when I joined Heineken, my background is hotel school, so I've worked 5 years in the, let's say, hotel recreational type of business. And then I joined Heineken. Actually, in my family, my father was in the wines and spirits. So I had the chance, because of his job as a sales director, that often holidays were combined with nice visits to France, Spain, Italy, and at a rather young age being exposed to traveling, nice for holidays, but also seeing the parts of the business and seeing the culture that is around wine. And I mean, 40, 50 years ago, that was still in a lot of countries in a kind of immature stage. And then in the Netherlands, we start to import more and more, of course, from France, Italy, Spain, and then later from other parts of the world. So that was a kind of source of inspiration. So, and then joining Heineken, I mean, I worked in the Netherlands, but I saw, for instance, that my boss or our regional director got promoted and got a job somewhere abroad. And I was like, wow, I would just wish that maybe one day I would have that chance too. And yeah, I could have never imagined. I literally started as a sales representative in the on-trade working in Rotterdam, visiting bars and restaurants, that years later I would have been able to travel around the globe. My first real abroad experience was after having worked 9 years in the Netherlands. I was appointed, as they call it, as Area Export Manager Africa, and I didn't know much about Africa, but I was literally traveling from Rotterdam, where I lived, to Amsterdam, to the office, and then from the airport to loads of countries. I must have visited 35 countries in 3 years' time. And there already, yeah, you were exposed to all those different cultures, different habits. But there was each time just a snapshot, a few days, and then coming back. But it really made me realize that I'm so extremely privileged, because you're just privileged by the fact that, yeah, where you are born and how you're raised and in which family. And then you see all the situation of people that, yeah, are born in different circumstances and a different place on the planet. And it made me feel very humble and realize, like, you know, I'm absolutely blessed. Sometimes I even got very annoyed coming back from my trips and people complaining, you know, the Dutch, they always complain about the weather. Well, rightfully so, because it's terrible. But if you don't like the weather, then I always say, yeah, you have the chance to move somewhere else, move to Slovakia or something. They complain about the traffic jams, about the weather, and then they have 2 houses and 3 cars and 5 holidays per year, and they're still not happy. Whereas I've seen in other cultures and environments, people being happy with very, very little and cherish what they have. And yeah, you know, the Africans, they've invented the carpe diem. They live in the moment. They always say, yesterday is gone and tomorrow doesn't exist, so you better enjoy what you have. Now, of course, if you want to build a future, you have to sometimes put something aside to not be surprised every single day. But yeah, it's been an enormous enrichment. And then after some years, I got a job abroad. So my first expat job was indeed in Slovakia. And like Guido rightfully says, you can be brilliant in what you do in the Netherlands. The moment you do the same job in another country, it's a totally different story, because you have only your very close family to lean on. You don't have your friends, you don't have your colleagues, you don't have the knowledge. You can look in your telephone, who shall I call for help, but you don't know anybody yet. So you start from scratch, and it's a tough one, but it's a very, very interesting step always to quickly get as much knowledge from the local market and appreciate the knowledge that your colleagues have, and transfer your knowledge from the company. And that is, of course, also the role as an expat. I mean, I always say I'm in a country to transfer knowledge, but that doesn't mean that I'm not learning myself, because I can be 63 and 38 years in the company. I still learn every day. I still make mistakes every day, but that's what life is all about, I guess. So yeah, traveling through those African countries, and then later on Egypt, which is, Egyptians would say, we're not Africa, we are Egypt. But there you indeed have the balance between the Arab world and the African part. Totally different ballgame, but still, as a business, we have the same standards, we have the same policies, we have the same procedures, but the environment is completely different. And then Suriname again, and then Congo, and now back to Slovakia. yeah, for me, it has been an enormous enrichment. And I think people who know me, they know that we as a family, we very much cherish what we have. And we're very blessed by what the company and all the traveling has brought us. You have to give a lot. And there's an African saying, in order to receive, you need to give. So you need to give a lot in order to receive. And I think that's how it works in life anyhow.
If I may have ask for some kind of a specific thing in any country that that you both worked or experienced, and something that if you could maybe use in Slovakia, so any kind of experience, whether it was a good one or a lesson learned or something that is typical for the culture and you appreciate it, could you maybe share something specific, whether Rene in your case from Congo or Rwanda, and Guido maybe from your experience working in US or UK, something that you really liked, it was different, and something you would say, oh, I wish maybe it was working in Slovakia, or we could maybe learn from that experience.
If I may, because it immediately comes to my mind, in the countries where I've worked, most often people look at life as the glass is half full. And when I first came to Slovakia, I had the feeling that a lot of people look at life, the glass is half empty. There's the threats, there's the situation, there's the uncertainty. And what I learned by traveling around and working and experiencing all those different cultures is celebrate your successes. Now, imagine me coming straight from Congo, where the Congolese have invented the carpe diem. They really lived their life very intense. And I came to Slovakia, and we are in a review meeting of the year, and the team is presenting the results, and all of a sudden I start to clap, and the team is looking at me like, what's wrong with this guy? And I said, guys, but this is a great achievement. You should be proud of this. And the team here would say, well, yeah, it's nice, but we're just doing our job. So in this, I mean, I appreciate the fact that people here are indeed very hardworking and humble, but it's also good to celebrate successes. And that has brought us a lot during the period of COVID, because I said success is much more than the profit on the bottom line, the turnover, the market share, you name it. There's much more. So it's good to always put in your mind, like, how does success look like? The results may not always be that great, but you can still be very successful as a company, because we also said, okay, we've been navigating through this crisis, but meanwhile, we've been building for the future, for the next generation. So the one thing that I learned is celebrate your successes, cherish them, build on them, but at the same time also make sure you learn from your mistakes.
Well, I fully understand. I agree on the vision of René. Of course, as Italian, one thing which served me well in Slovakia is the flexibility, bringing the flexibility on the workplace with people which are very willing to work and very capable, change completely things. But if I... in positive, of course. But if I have to bring one experience which also came to my life, which is when I went to work in US. In US, people are very open. Even if they have very little connection or they don't know still each other, they are very open one to another. And this is something which would be working very well in Slovakia as well. Because when you are open in your work, you are able to share the joy, like René said, the enthusiasm for the successes, but also you would be able to have to accept the critics, which when they are positive critics, push you forward. And this exchange, this being open to the changes, open to the others in the positive, and also for what we need to change, this could be the tribe that we need in Slovakia to do the next steps for the next 20 years.
Thank you. Thank you both for sharing these nice examples. I would maybe basically follow up on what you mentioned a little bit. You mentioned that the company or the industry has changed. You've seen a lot of innovation, development. I would like to ask, what are the biggest innovation that you would see maybe done in your company in Slovakia? Or maybe a lot of talk is about R&D and maybe bringing R&D in Slovakia. I was wondering whether your company does something in the area of R&D, and if it does, maybe what it is, or as you mentioned, the innovations, what are the most interesting innovations that you've seen in the past couple of years, maybe in Heineken or Expante? You both mentioned that the products have been developed or developed in the year. So if you could maybe share with us what is the innovation and R&D in your companies. Thank you.
Like I said, I mean, brewing is a very traditional business, and you go back to the Pharaohs, to the Egyptians, where it all started. And it's interesting because nowadays there's a lot of craft brewers, and then there is they tend to call us the industrial brewers. And I think there's also the misconception that one is better than the other. I always say, we're doing exactly the same thing. The only thing is that we have the scale, we have the bigger volumes, but brewing is still based on natural ingredients and a brewing process. So that hasn't changed. The things that have changed, of course, over time is the whole optimization. So certain things can be computer controlled, where in the past, maybe you would need 100 people to watch the whole process. Unfortunately for some of the workforce, but nowadays you could do with half, because the process is computer controlled, is properly monitored, all with the aim to have the consistent high quality. But it's not that you can brew with robots. In our case, that doesn't work. It's still quite some manual labor involved, certainly also in the maltery. But yet, industrialization, automation has come in and is evolving. We do have kind of robotic way of, for instance, packing the pellets. So certain parts of the process you can, of course, outsource by automation. Then there is digitalization. I mean, maybe in Slovakia, although also, but maybe a little bit less relevant, but imagine you work in a remote area somewhere in Africa, and some of your machines don't work, we often needed to fly in, especially, I mean, there's a lot of Italian companies that are very specialized in packaging machines. You need to fly in a technician, get the visa, very complicated stuff to come to repair. Nowadays with digitalization, just with iPads, a lot of these things are being done online. So basically avoid all the traveling, or even remotely you can do you can do an intervention. So that has developed. If you look at product innovation, yeah, basically from lager beer, just a pilsner as we know, to all sorts of different beers, different flavors, different taste. That whole landscape has evolved enormously. In Slovakia, the trend came a bit later, but you see that often these trends move from the more Western countries. I mean, in the US, craft beer started many years ago. Australia, New Zealand, UK, they've been very advanced in craft beers, in ciders, in flavored beers, and that wave is then going over Europe. A bit to a lesser extent here, because people are still, we always say they like innovations, but they're still, the Slovaks are in this a bit cautious. And they like their tradition, which I appreciate. So yeah, the product innovation, there's still a lot going on. And in the industry, yeah, that whole digitalization is moving fast, and that is. But that's also, I think, the interesting part for younger people to join the company, because, yeah, if it would be only labor work, they might not be that interested. So it's, I think, nowadays a very nice mixture.
Is it possible that someone would, for example, start in Heineken, Slovakia, and then work within, like you had the experience to travel and work in other countries, that they might, let's say, do some innovative work for Heineken in other countries, maybe in Netherlands or elsewhere?
Definitely. Actually, we encourage that a lot. So we very carefully monitor in every country talent. And we always ask people, are you willing to move? Are you willing to travel? Now, there's one thing with the slower colleagues, that there's not that many that are actually willing to move abroad, which has to do a lot with, I think, the quality of life in this country. It's safe. There's enough space. There's beautiful nature. So unlike, I think, the Italians and the Dutch, we always been known as people that are willing to travel and move abroad. But we do short-term assignments, people 6 months, 12 months, getting the experience abroad and then come back. But even nowadays, people can do like online assignments or partially still being based in Slovakia, but maybe travel back and forth between countries.
Thank you. Thank you, René. How about you, Guido?
In our manufacturing for plastic components for the automotive industry, partly the work is done by molding machines and partly is the manual work. But this again works the flexibility in which you can drive the people you are working with. And at a certain point, we needed to digitalize, to have barcodes, to follow the whole process from a traceability point of view. And with my team, mainly of women in the management, we were able to introduce this in a sector where was not the standard. And notwithstanding we had external consultants, we were able inside to create a customized system which could work for us for barcodes. So each workers now has access to tablets and everything from the ordering of the raw material to the final product is digitalized. But this, I was afraid about this because, of course, as implies a change of the mentality of the people, which came very natural. And today, at a certain point, we had to use both paper and tablets at the same time for the transition. But today, people loved it, and it helps a lot of the work of the people. So in the end, if you are able to change the mentality for the innovation, for the teamwork, then you are able to change also the work condition and to improve it. So this is, again, a fantastic experience which I have in Slovakia, where things are possible and they can be made.
Wow, thank you. That's a very nice example. I'm glad to hear that people are flexible and they adopted this digital changes so naturally. As you said, it's cool to hear. Maybe to wrap up, my last question would be a little bit more on the personal side and regarding your experience in Slovakia. So I would like to ask, you both mentioned that you like Slovakia. Maybe I would ask, what is it that you enjoy doing in Slovakia, where you spend your free time, or something that you would like to share with our listeners, something that you particularly enjoy doing in your free time, or you like about Slovakia and you spend time doing?
I will start. I always enjoy connecting to the country which is hosting me. For instance, when I was in California, I became a volunteer firefighter because close to my house there was a station of volunteering firefighters. And this helped me to connect with the people, to know better the culture, and to give a contribution back to the community where I was staying. And the same I did in Slovakia. I've been always loving photography. I've been photographing since I'm 13 years old. And in Slovakia, I love to start connecting with people through documentary photography. And this brought me to 4 books, which I published in Slovakia. The last one, because of the pandemic, the last one was about healthcare workers. During the pandemic, I toured hospitals, clinics, universities. I met a lot of workers in this sector, notwithstanding the difficulties from the COVID and from the working point of view. I found excellent people, and I was able to make this documentary around 51 women in the healthcare sector from different positions, from dean of the university to the simple worker in the surgery room. And this gave me a completely different perspective of Slovakia, of people capable, resilient, excellent in what they are doing, where they don't take as is not possible for granted, but they really try to achieve everything what is possible.
Wow, that's very nice. How about you, René? What is it that you doing maybe in your free time outside work in Slovakia? What is it that you enjoy?
I must admit, when I came to the country in 2001, I didn't know it at all. I'd never been in this part of Europe, but I kind of instantly fell in love with the country and the countryside. I had the pleasure to work as a sales director, being responsible for Slovakia and even partially Czech Republic. And I think in my first year, together with the driver, luckily, traveled something like 80,000 kilometers. And we had district sales offices all over the place. So whenever I was out there for business, and the first time I saw the Tatras and traveled all the way to east, to north, to south. And very often then in the weekend, I said to my family, okay, let's go for a drive. And my then wife would say, why are you taking us? I said, it's just beautiful, nice little town or village, beautiful church, very nice hiking path. So nature is absolutely stunning. And the connection that I made is that it really reminded me of my youth, where in the Netherlands we still had space and we were a couple of millions of people less. We would go out cycling and walking. Can't call it hiking because it's so flat. But in holidays, we always would go to either Italy or France or Austria or Switzerland, and always was very impressed with the lakes and the mountains and the hills, which we lack in the Netherlands. And I found that in Slovakia. So fast forward, I got divorced. A few years later, I remarried. My wife is from Slovakia. And when she followed me on this crazy career all around the globe, at least I promised her parents, I said, no, I'll stay connected to the country. So we bought a holiday house in Liptovské Trnavec in 2006. And no matter where we were in the world, a couple of times per year, we would always come back and there swim in the lake, hiking, cycling. I'm quite close to Jasna for skiing. And now we came back. Actually, shame on me because I visit the house less than when I was working in Africa. But that's how it is, of course, because now I can move freely everywhere. And then the connection to the people. I mean, Slovaks come across as a bit tough or maybe reserved, but it's actually the opposite. I mean, people are very welcoming, very heart-giving, sharing. And close to my heart and my business, I mean, they love their beer and they love a good glass of wine nowadays as well, or a nice Slivovica. So, I mean, for me, Slovakia is, I would almost say, my first home, if not my second. I'm hardly ever in the Netherlands because this is where we live, and I really enjoy it.
Thank you, René, also for sharing. Gentlemen, it has been a pleasure to listen to your stories, your experience, learning about your companies and how it has developed. I thank you for your time and hope to talk to you again sometimes in the future again. Thank you and bye-bye.
Thanks, Veronica. Thanks, Guido. All the best.
All the best.
Verím, že ste v dnešnom podcaste našli inšpiráciu alebo aspoň zo pár užitočných informácií a budem sa tešiť pri najbližšej epizóde opäť na budúce. Pekný deň.